Today, ever bigger government is not the answer. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analysis, where I'm the latest post covering finance and property news. The current economic structure in Australia is failing to deliver better living standards for Australians. Despite the slightly stronger wages growth seen recently, overall productivity continues to languish. So when Prime Minister Anthony Albanese told business people this month that he wants the private sector to resume its rightful place as the primary source of growth in the economy, my thought was, well, words and figures differ. As John Kehoe at the AFR recently noted, Australia has a sclerotic economy with business being crowded out by big government as the public and private sectors compete for scarce resources, particularly labour. A byproduct of the soaring federal and state government spending is that taxpayer-funded jobs has boomed in recent years. About 80% of the employment growth in the past 2 years has been in the so-called non-market sector. That includes healthcare, aged care, disability support, education, and bureaucracy more generally. This is an extraordinary expansion of taxpayer-funded and government-regulated jobs, particularly considering that it's the non-market sector that makes up less than 30% of total employment. Consequently, while the unemployment rate is a low 4.3%, labour productivity is languishing at 2016 levels. And here, we should note that the recent RBA minutes showed that GDP growth in the March quarter had been a little softer than expected in May because of an unanticipated fall in public demand. In other words, the amount of public spending eased a little bit more than people thought it was going to. By contrast, the recovery in private demand was slightly stronger than forecast, particularly reflecting the outcomes for household consumption and building investment. Yet, growth in household consumption eased in the March quarter, though the data was messed up by the temporary electricity subsidies and increases in promotional sales activity late in 2024, and also weather events too. The minutes also noted that members discussed the broad-based slowdown in productivity growth in Australia and other advanced economies. The slowing over recent decades reflected, they said, structural headwinds, though other factors, including a decline in productivity in the mining sector and an expansion in the size of the non-market sector, also weighed on productivity growth in preceding years. Actually, business investment as a share of the economy is languishing not far above the abysmal levels recorded in the early 1990s recession. So this problem has existed under governments of both political persuasions for at least for a decade plus. Economic output per person has shrunk, actually, for 7 of the past 9 quarters. And real household disposable incomes have gone backwards. During this period, government spending has surged. Nominal federal spending rose more than 8% last financial year and is forecast to grow a further 6% this year. That's according to Treasury. And Treasury estimates federal spending as a share of the economy will hit 27% this financial year. That's the highest since 1986, excluding the 2 years of the pandemic stimulus. The spending is even higher if you factor in the more than $100 billion in the so-called off-budget spending over 5 years on items such as cancelling student debt, the National Broadband Network, and Clean Energy Finance Corporation. Actually, Albanese and Chalmers are in effect injecting an undeclared fiscal stimulus into an economy that is already fully employed. Perversely, federal spending is soaring at the very time Albanese claims he wants to pass the growth baton to the private sector for a more productive economy. In the AFR today, an article by Kehoe says more than half of voters now rely on governments for most of their income through public sector wages, welfare benefits, or subsidies. That's according to a new report by the Centre for Independent Studies, which is a right-of-centre liberal think tank. As a result, the federal and state government spending splurge has hit the highest level since the end of World War II due to a massive ramp-up in outlays on disability support, aged care and childcare. The National Disability Insurance Scheme is the chief culprit, accounting for $52 billion in costs and making Australia among the biggest government spenders on disability in the world. This dependence poses a formidable opposition for any politician trying to curb the growth in public expenditure, CIS senior fellow Robert Carling said. A culture of dependency and entitlement has taken root in the population, and political behaviour has become only too willing to accommodate and encourage it into a feedback loop. Federal Treasury warned in a post-election briefing to Treasurer Jim Chalmers that government spending must be cut and taxes increased to put the federal budget on a sustainable footing. Funny, this was never part of the election campaign. Budget deficits and rising public debt are tipped to increase interest payments by governments by almost 10% a year for the next decade, as governments face higher borrowing costs than the ultra-low interest rates during the pandemic. Again, according to the CIS's report called Leviathan on the Rampage. Total federal and state government spending has surged to a post-war high of 39% of GDP, up from the 34 to 35% before the 2008 global financial crisis. Carling says that the current spending splurge might have only been equaled more recently than World War II in the 1980s, before the Hawke-Keating Labour government cut spending. A dozen federal social spending, care economy and defence programmes, along with public debt interest, have averaged growth of almost 10% a year since 2012-13, lifting their share of the budget from around 35% of expenditure to almost 50%. Carling, who's a former federal and New South Wales Treasury official, said the $52 billion NDIS was the chief culprit for spending blowouts. The NDIS has repeatedly exceeded cost estimates by a wide margin and has done more than any other program to drive government spending growth, Carling said. Australia now outlays more than $90 billion a year, which is more than 3% of GDP, for the NDIS, disability support, pensions and carer payments. Spending on disability exceeds the individual budgets for the age pension, defence, aged care and Medicare. And Labor's planned reforms to the NDIS are slipping behind as Canberra struggles to get the states to agree to take on more responsibility for children with developmental needs in the health and education systems. Childcare subsidies have already more than doubled from $6 billion in 2018 to $40 billion a year, with little obvious benefits for women's workforce participation, out-of-pocket fees, or better outcomes for children. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese has laid out ambitions to deliver universal childcare, which could add up to a further $13 billion a year to the costs, according to the Productivity Commission. During the election campaign, Albanese offered more free doctor's visits, free TAFE, and free lenders' mortgage insurance for first-home buyers. Moreover, Carling says so-called off-budget investments, such as the Albanese government reducing student loans and spending more on green energy funds, added $104 billion in hidden spending over 5 years. The growth of government spending remains a serious economic concern because of what it means for persistent budget deficits, rising public debt and taxation, weak productivity growth, and the societal consequences of a deepening dependency on government, he said. 4 in 5 jobs created in the past 2 years have been in the non-market sector, which are occupations in industries heavily influenced by government spending and regulation. Minutes from the Reserve Bank of Australia's Monetary Board meeting released on Tuesday noted a decline in public demand. Government spending in the March quarter was expected to be temporary. Recent government budgets remained broadly consistent with the staff's expectations for growth in public demand in the May forecast, the RBA noted. Employment growth in the non-market sector, which includes healthcare, education and public administration, has started at ease in early 2025 from a rapid pace, while employment growth in the market sector has picked up a little in year-ending terms. The boom in government-funded jobs in care and bureaucracy is dragging down labour productivity. The Department of Employment has warned the Albanese government in frank advice before Chalmers Economic Roundtable. Chalmers, of course, will host that three-day Economic Reform Roundtable in August to discuss ways to increase productivity and make the budget more sustainable, including potential changes to the tax system. But unless there is an obvious or significant pivot, which frankly is unlikely, as Leith Van Onselen said on my live show yesterday, this will be just another talk fest and avoiding the core issues. You cannot fix Australia by ever bigger government. This is simply not the answer. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.